At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Real quick before we start the show, just wanted to let you guys know you can get the show 2 days early by joining our Patreon. Even for a buck, you can listen to the show 2 days early. Go to patreon.com/analogtalk and we got a bunch of stuff over there. Check it out and enjoy the episode.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host, Chris.
I'm Tim.
And today on the show, we have Trevor Weiskopf. Hey, Trevor.
Hey. Woo. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us. We're super excited to chat. But before we get into it, do you mind introducing yourself to our listeners and giving us a background on how you got into photography?
Yeah. So I moved to New York City in 2017 when I was 19. I did not intend to move here to take photos. But when I moved here, my girlfriend at the time was taking a photography 101 class at the School of Visual Arts. And she had some leftover film. And I was like, you know what? Well, actually, I started working at a coffee shop and they showed me the work of Daniel Arnold. And after that, I was pretty much hooked. In a way, I was like, these are very strange photos. So she had these extra rolls after she finished class. And then I was like, can I have those? And they were black and white tri-X, which I don't shoot at all anymore. And I shot those rolls and I looked at the initial rolls and I actually got pretty discouraged initially. I was like, I fucking suck. But turns out I didn't suck eventually. I just kept taking photos after that. So that's how I got into photography. I didn't move here to do that, but it just pretty much fell into the lap with the inspiration of Daniel.
So I always say this is my favorite part of the show because everybody's like story is different. And I love hearing it when it wasn't like, oh, I found a camera and the camera was really cool. I love when you're like, I saw somebody's work and was like, yeah, what the heck is this? Yeah. You know, like that is pretty, that's just amazing.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically what happened. I mean, also one of my roommates with that girlfriend also was going to SVA for photography. And that was not really an influence, but I was like, if this guy's going to school, you know, I'm not going to school. I didn't go to college. So I was like, I'll just pick up a camera after I saw his work and I'll just try to make interesting photos that are mine. And then, you know, one thing leads to another. And then here we are today.
So what was that camera that you got your hands on first off?
I used her grandmother's camera, a 58 millimeter 1.2 Minolta SRT 101.
Ooh. Wow. I got that sitting.
Deep cut.
Right?
I only shot 10 rolls on that.
Which is crazy.
He's going to pull it out. Look.
Isn't that nuts that it's just sitting on my desk?
Ever used it?
Not that one specific, but I have used that setup before. This one I just... it's great. It's great.
It's okay. It's okay. The funny thing is the one that I used, the light meter didn't work, so I just winged it the whole time.
Nice.
I had no teaching, so I just guessed.
You went for it.
It worked.
That kind of wants me to go back a little bit. Do you have any sort of like, was there any sort of like artistic thing in your life? Were you into like drawing or music or anything crazy like that pre finding the camera?
Yeah. Huh. Okay. This is going to be good. When I was very young, I drew a lot, and I was like recommended to like some art school in Virginia when I was like 5. But you had to pay to go there, so I didn't go to that. So I stopped drawing for a little bit, and then in middle school, I drew a lot. That like all during class. Actually, in second grade, I would draw so much that I wouldn't even do my schoolwork, so I had to repeat second grade. I would go up to the teacher and I'd say, "I'm throwing this away," and I would throw it away in the trash in front of him because I didn't care, because I just wanted to do that kind of stuff. And then I realized when I got held back by my mom that you can't not do your work. So I did the work,
right.
And eventually in middle school I was drawing a lot, but I wouldn't pay attention in class. And then in high school, I got into fashion. I really liked clothes and stuff like that. So mostly vintage. I think there's a lot of artwork on like 80s tees and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh, this one you'll like. When I was a sophomore in high school, I built an electric guitar from scratch.
Oh, I love that.
I cut down a tree and I built the whole thing because my uncle... built
like from real scratch, like you cut down the tree.
I cut down the tree. Redwood. Not redwood, sorry. It was cherry. But I built a guitar from scratch, made like a Les Paul imitation, and I put the inlay, instead of it saying Gibson, it said Wise Cup on the top of the stock. I don't have it here. I wish I did. It's in North Carolina with my father. But music, I've always been a big music person, but I never played. I played trumpet in middle school. That's it.
Okay. That's what I was looking for, the trumpet right there. It makes all sense.
I suck too. And I wore gloves because I didn't want to get the trumpet dirty. So I wore gloves and people always
go,
I wore white gloves and they're like, "Who are you, Michael Jackson?" And I was like, "Come on."
I love hearing like the pre-even photography stuff, just because it all kind of springs from somewhere, you know, like there's some sort of creativeness, I feel like, in all of us if it's like doing plant stuff or gardening or, you know, there's some sort of artistic pull, I feel like, in pretty much everything we do at some point.
It's always there. I feel like I always like had some sort of ambition to make something artistically, but it just didn't really, it wasn't realized until I moved to New York. So it took me like 20 years.
Yeah.
I always wanted to do it, but I just didn't know how. I mean, I was young. I was a kid, but.
You still draw?
I was going to ask that. That was my next question.
No.
Wow, really? So photography just has grabbed you by it.
Photography, and I do videos now. I have a YouTube. It's mostly documentary stuff. Like it's like an extension of the camera. I record the stuff on the street just like I would take a photo, because sometimes taking a photo isn't enough. Sometimes you got to record a video.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's funny you say that, because I'm realizing that now that I have a kid, that I love the photos, but I'm also doing video a lot more, because you know, now he's starting to talk, he's walking, like I want to look back at all that and like really remember it, like, you know, have it that I can always go back to it. Like, it's how funny he said our dog's names this way, or like he said you know, like,
absolutely,
it's they're really hand in hand, and that's like awesome that you are doing that too, because I'm kind of getting into that mode.
I just don't always feel like the picture always tells the full story, so sometimes I'll be holding an iPhone in one hand and the camera in the other hand, and I'll take a photo, but I'm also recording a video at the same time.
I love that.
I mean, why not do both?
Because that's like time capsules type stuff, you know, like you're going to have a good documentation of this time in our lives in 30, 40, 50 years. You know what I mean? I love it.
We need to get you one of those like GoPros for the top of your camera. Or something like that.
I don't know. I kind of like, yeah, I mean, people have told me to do POVs and, like, you know, show how I take photos. And it probably would be good, maybe, I don't know. But I'm more of like, I when I'm using an iPhone or whatever camera I have, like, I'm still, like, thinking about the framing. Like, I'm holding the camera a certain way.
Yeah.
Like, I keep it down low. Like, no one has ever called me out for filming. People call me out for photography all the time, but filming, that has never been a problem. So I kind of like that. Would it be good for confrontations? Because I do get in those. having a GoPro? Yeah, probably. But yeah, maybe. We'll see. I've never done it.
Exciting. I love your like version of street photography. Just watching, you know, like we were talking about before we started, your walkie-talkie with Polly and stuff, like just seeing how you, there's just such like a positivity of it. And I can see why you get in like the little scraps and stuff. There takes some like real serious gusto to get in front of somebody and take their picture like that, especially today's age where everybody thinks we're out to get them and make them look like a fool and stuff like that. It's, but you're just always like, hey, how's it going? And you know,
hey,
like you're just,
I love when you're like, hey, you look great. Like, I feel like you could get away with a lot of it if you didn't turn back and be like, by the way, you look great. If you're like, wait, what? Did you take a photo? You're like,
What happened?
Yeah. I get into some stuff sometimes. And it took a long time to build up that kind of courage to do that. I mean, I've been doing that since probably year one. Like after a year, I realized, you know, a lot of stuff's not going to go down. Like most people aren't going to either notice or care. And that 1% of people that get angry, I can kind of diffuse. But then sometimes people are so angry, it doesn't matter what you say. You can say you look great. It doesn't matter. They don't care.
Yeah.
And then I got to kind of, in those situations, I'll be honest, sometimes I have to be a little bit of a jerk. Where I'm like, fuck off. Like you just don't get it. And I can't, there's no amount of words I can tell you to get it. So goodbye. Like, it sucks. Cause like, I wish they understood it a little more, but you know, not everyone's going to like what you do. It's just the reality of it.
I do like your approach in general though, because a lot of, you know, street photography kind of gets looked on as like, well, you're being sneaky, you're not being truthful, you're like, you know, you're not letting these people have, you know, autonomy for where their image goes and stuff like that. But I like that you will acknowledge people, whether it's because they're upset or because you just want to say, I took your photo because you look good. Like, you know what I mean? I think it's like a more truthful approach to street photography, in my opinion.
Yeah, we could talk a lot about the landscape of street photography now because I have a lot of opinions, but I feel like a lot of people are going out and they're either shy, so they're like not close, and they're not, I don't really think a lot of people are sneaking it, and I don't want to mention anybody by name, but some people don't even look through the viewfinder. I look through the viewfinder. I'm very obvious every time because I don't want to act like I'm, it's not about being sneaky. I just don't want to hide anything. I don't mind if anyone knows I'm taking a photo, just as long as,
that's okay.
No cuts.
No
cuts. It's just like, I just don't want to hide anything. Like, I don't want to be that guy. I just want it to be very obvious that I did what I did. And then if they're upset by it, then I'll talk to them. That's pretty much what I want to do at all times. If they want, I said this in the walkie-talkie, if they want an explanation, I'm more than welcome to give them one.
Does that ever like deter you from like, I don't have the energy for the rest of that today, so I'm like not going to go take photos? Or do you sometimes go out? Like, I feel
no,
like,
never,
you know, deterred. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I'm never really deterred by it. No. Because, I mean, what you saw in that video, did you watch the end of the video where the guy was really angry at me?
Yeah.
Like, that's not a common occurrence.
If I
shoot 10 hours a day, 8 hours a day, that might happen maybe once. Maybe it doesn't happen at all.
Right.
That's just the risks I'm taking. Right. I know that it's possible it could happen at any time. Right. But it's not very common. But I know how to, like, I feel like I know how to handle it when it would happen. Like in that video, I said, okay. Like, I just listened. That's all I could do was listen. Yeah. So yeah, I'm not really deterred by it.
It makes me wonder, like, you know, what the old time, like the greats, what did they have to deal with? Like, you know, because there's they were only documenting with photo. There wasn't, you know, really any video of that time period.
I mean, there's a little bit of like Gildan getting into some shit, but there's no video. I honestly don't even really know of many accounts from like Winogrand or not Mermelstein, or like Mermelstein actually did say one time he got into some shit, but like Meyerowitz, I doubt Meyerowitz got into anything. Like, I don't know.
He's like the sweetest guy ever.
I know.
It's not known. So this is like, I feel like recently a lot of my stuff has been documented because there's that's not the only confrontation I've had. Like, right. There's like six.
There was like two in that video. That lady too was like,
yeah, that lady didn't like me either. No, she didn't like. Yeah, I feel like it's becoming more known that like you can get into some trouble doing this, sure. Especially if you're doing what I'm doing, because I get, you know, 4 or 5 feet away.
I wonder if it's like the age of like cell phone cameras too. Like people are just more aware of it than back in the day, you know?
Yeah. I also think that street photography has become a lot more popular in the last 2 years.
And totally.
I think a lot more people, like a lot of people are more aware of it. I see people looking at me all the time. Like they see a camera and they're like, I don't know. Like they're just kind of more sensitive. 6 years ago when I started, that wasn't really a thing. Like they didn't look at you with a camera. You just have a camera. But now it's a little different. So if street photography keeps going how it's going, everyone's going to know what's going to happen.
Right.
And everybody's going to have a camera. Everybody's going to be
that's
shooting.
That's true, because there's been a lot of new people. It's kind of exploded. There was only like 20 people running around on the street like 3-4 years ago. Now there's hundreds.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Sorry, what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, you see it in like your videos and in Pauly videos and all the New York crew videos, that it's just like the crowd of even walking. When I'm watching you guys walking, you see people with cameras that aren't even a part of that crew. It's pretty crazy how popular. I mean, I sit here every day and I'm like, damn, I need to get up to New York because this just looks like so much fun all the time.
You said you're coming, right?
I'm going to try to go to the Lomography thing coming up on the, I think it's like the 23rd. Yeah, I would love to.
Well, hang out.
Yes.
Do some street photography.
Then you see how photography goes. Actually, I was with Matt Day last night.
Yeah, I saw your video. Yeah.
I was with Matt Day and a bunch of people, and there was a guy like smoking a cigarette outside, and I don't exactly remember. He was outside a bodega, and I just flashed it. And then someone goes, "Was that Trevor?" And then I was like, yeah, it was. But no, I was taking photos the whole time. I took one photo. Yeah. Like, that was Trevor.
Wow.
Like, yeah, I was. Yeah.
That's great. I love it.
You'll see it when you come up.
How did you get linked up with Daniel Arnold? I saw you were like babysitting his cats or something like that. Is that what I saw?
That's an insane story.
I used to. I don't anymore because Daniel has a girlfriend. So now she does that. But I used to stay at his house occasionally because he needed, you know, he'd go to Italy to shoot for Prada and he'd be like, can you watch my cat for a week? And I'd say, yeah,
man.
How'd I get linked up with him? I met him a month after I started taking photos.
Wow.
And then it was
insane. What are you talking about? Like, that's just, I saw this guy changed my life. His work inspired me so much to pick up a camera and start doing photography. And now we're besties.
Now I'm watching his cat.
I mean, I have a really crazy story that probably shouldn't be in the podcast, but Daniel Arnold is like a big brother. Like, I just went through a dark time and he got me out of that. Mm. Let's just put it that way.
Gotcha. I love it.
Man, you can keep that
legend.
He's like a big brother. But I don't know, like, you know, gradually over time, I kept taking photos and then he started to like the photos I was taking. And then we, you know, I'd go to events and I'd see him and he's quirky like I am a little bit. And, you know, we just clicked. And one time he asked me, it's a little sad, but he asked me to assist on a shoot. And Angus Cloud was there and he passed away recently.
Right.
But I assisted on that shoot and he doesn't bring assistance. He doesn't need assistance.
Wow.
But, you know, I reloaded his cameras that day, the whole day, and hung out. And Daniel's the best. That's all I can say. Daniel is the best. Shout out Daniel.
I love to hear it.
We agree.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be doing this without him.
That's awesome. Wow.
I mean, we're literally.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And so you just released a zine too, right?
I did. Do you want to? Well, I know this isn't being filmed, but I can show you on the webcam. I got a zine. Mark mentioned it. Resurgence.
Yeah.
Got the goodies in it. Yeah. I just released it. Sold about 400.
Congratulations.
Man. Yeah. That's not that bad at all. Hello.
Not too bad. Especially at the price it was. I priced it a little high, but. But that's because I think the work's good enough to be a book, but...
Dude, 100%. Yeah, your stuff's great.
That was my next question. I was like, okay, we did a zine. is book in the future?
If I had a publisher, yeah, it would have been a book, because every time, yeah, I make something, it's more like a book. It's not a zine. It's not like I fucking walked on Madison Avenue for 10 days. This is my zine. I was in New York. I went to San Francisco. This is my, yeah, zine.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I every time I make something physical, it has to have like a lot of thought. Because this took like 2 months to put together, but it's 6 years of work. So,
okay.
Wow.
Okay. That was going to be a question as well. Yeah. And are you doing the layout and design, or do you have like a team that you work with, or how does that all work?
So my buddy, Mike Ack, he designed the zine, and I'm not going to discount anything he did, but I made all like the final decisions. Like I was like, we got to have it.
Yeah.
We got to have, sure, it pink, and we got to have it changed to blue, and we got to have this photo on the back. And like, but the funny thing is he sequenced the whole thing. I was like, I want, okay, you to sequence it, uh-huh, and then I will approve whether I like it or not. So he sequenced the whole thing. And I didn't really change much. Like I changed like two pairs. That's it.
I find the like when I work on a zine or a project like that, the sequencing is always one of the toughest parts for me, because you want to tell the story with the work, right, or at least have some sort of ending of parts and beginning of parts. I obsessed over Alex Soth videos on the internet of where he goes through people's books and zines, and he's like, this part here would work better over here, you know. So like,
oy,
I'm, yeah, always like super self-conscious when I'm working on something like that. So that's a cool idea to kind of hand that off to somebody else to do that. I need to work on something like that.
Absolutely. I also, about Alex Soth, I used to go to bed and just put the video on and just go to sleep and at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
No, uh-huh, they're great. It's like, it's kind of like,
they're
therapy,
great,
like photo therapy.
Yep, exactly.
I haven't watched one of his videos in a while, but they always are good.
Always. Like, I same thing. I always put them on when I'm going to bed, because I think his original intentions for that stuff, he wanted to do like a podcast type thing, yeah, where he, what, wanted us to just kind of have it on and vibe with it.
Yeah, but unfortunately, they have to be videos because you have to look at the photos. But
I know,
yeah,
you got to look at the photos.
I know.
And his voice is so, hey, I'm Alex Stowe.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. From Minnesota.
from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
Always. I was gonna say, that's what's like missing from our show. It's like the fact that we can't like show the photos, or like,
I know,
you held,
I know,
up your zine and like, we saw it, but you guys can't see it.
No, that makes sense.
So do you ever have any plans of like breaking out of the street photography thing? Like, do you ever want to work on any other sort of projects? Is there any sort of, what,
oh,
else,
yeah,
do you want to do with photography? Or are you just going to ride or die street photography until you're kind of sick of it?
No, well, I'll never get sick of it. But yeah, my next, well, I've never been anywhere in the U.S. I've only been the East Coast. I lived in Virginia, right, for 19 years, and I've lived in New York for 6. I'm 25. My plan in photography and in life is just, I'm going to rip off Eggleston and Shore. I'm going to just I'm just going to go on road trips and like,
yeah,
explore that. Cause when I leave this city, I still take photos the same way. So, mm-hmm, I'm just,
right,
going to go to different places and take photos the same way. So the plan is to travel the U.S., wherever, Midwest, just wherever I go. That's what I really want to do. I'm not sick of the street. I'm still going to keep doing it because I'm not done with it. And I'm never going to be done with it because that's where the roots are. But if I didn't start taking street photos, I don't think I would be nearly as, I don't want to call myself talented, but many people do. So I'll just say nearly as good as I am now. If I didn't start with that as the basis.
Right.
Because if you start with street, I feel like you can do anything. In photography, you can take portraits, you can do anything, because you already know how to take a photo of a random person,
mm-hmm,
right?
And you have no control of it. So then when they give you the control, it's like, wow, I can do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That is, I didn't know where you're going with that, but that makes 100% sense. Yeah. Like, totally.
I mean, William Klein took so many photos in Vogue in the 50s, but he started out as, mm-hmm, a street photographer. Same with Robert Frank. Like, he didn't take fashion photos,
right,
but he took assignments and they were,
yeah,
good, because he already knew how to take photos candidly. So look at Daniel Arnold's assignments. Like, they're not street photos. They're photos of people candidly because he took street photos. Like, once you,
yeah,
learn how to do that, then you can do anything.
Right.
That's so true. Just with my like spurt of street stuff that I was doing while I lived in Nashville, like I had such a good time, and it gives you so much courage and like gratification when you nail a shot. Like, especially when I was walking around with my Mamiya, like the big RB67, doing like street portraits on that. You have to be quick, and then to be quick with something that's so slow, like you got to change everything. And it's just, and then actually working with people later on, because those street portraits actually is what got me shooting like real portraits. It's mm-hmm. pretty cool how that works.
Is it okay if I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
And it's not important, but I'm curious. Do you think someone that takes street portraits, are they a street photographer?
I mean, that's such a, like, everybody talks about this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm just curious.
So are you saying, like, as in somebody who kind of rearranges a person for a shot?
What?
Like a Ribsy?
Or just like, or a Sissy Lou.
Yeah, Sissy Lou. Says, like,
yeah, I'm just curious. Know. Are they a street photographer? Because when you think of street photographer, you think of candid shots on the street. So I'm just curious.
Right.
Are they a street photographer, or are they a portrait photographer? Not that what I care about any of this, because I don't. I'm just curious about your answer.
I'm wondering, because I feel like it's the answer is a bubble is yes, like the umbrella is yes.
Obviously.
Because they're taking like portraits of people on the street. So I feel like maybe it's like under a different category, like portrait street photographer.
Yeah. Okay. I was just curious.
I look at it because I explain this to my coworkers, because they don't really know, like when they think of photography, like I work at a music store. So when I'm like, you know, out taking pictures, I always get shown like pictures on their phone, like it's photography. Like there's a big difference between like photos and actual photography. And they're trying to like comprehend what I do. And they're like, well, what do you do? And I was like, well, I do a lot of like street. This is what I always say. Uh-huh. It's like I do a lot of street photography and like documentary style. It's like a bubble, because like I'll post somebody or ask somebody sometimes for a shot. And I feel like that's not like the kismet moment of street photography that we're all looking for. But I'm still, you know, maybe my next shot's the one of, you know, the mom handing the kid a stick of gum, and it's a cool shot. And it's, you know, it's just like a, I don't know. I think it is like what Chris said. It's a bubble. It's a bubble of.
Yeah, actually, we should talk about this very quickly. I hate the term street photography, like many have.
I kind of feel like it's overdone. Yeah.
Well, I just hate the term, because I don't think about it as street photography. I think about it as it's documentary.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't matter if you're in the United States, you're in Iraq. That doesn't matter. Because like, think of Gordon Parks. Is he a street photographer?
Oh, yeah.
Or is he a documentary?
Right.
He's not really a street photographer, but like a lot of his stuff's on the street. He's definitely a documentary photographer. So for a long time, when people would say, oh, what are you doing? Like, what do you do? I'd say, oh, I'm a documentary photographer. Because, you know, 100 years from now, when all of us are dead, all three of us, they're going to be documentary photos. They're not necessarily street photos.
Yeah.
Yes, they're on the street, and it is street photography. I just don't like the term. It's just like, it makes it lesser. Documentary is like you're in the Middle East, or you're in Europe, or you're wherever some conflict is. But street is like, oh, you're just a street guy. Like, you just go out and take whatever you want.
Huh.
There's no agenda. There is an agenda.
I agree.
I'm just documenting, you know?
No, I get it. I think you're right.
Yeah, and I also heard you say that when people are like, when somebody asks you, like, what are you doing? You're like, oh, I'm just documenting.
Yeah.
That's people can also, who don't, aren't in the photography world, can hear that and maybe feel some type of way, maybe be more put at ease, because like,
it's easier
like,
to swallow if you're
right.
Yeah. Because when you think of like, maybe if somebody did catch a term of street photography, you think of like Bruce Gilden, like right up in their face, like boom, bam. And a lot of people don't really like those photos too much. I mean, I do. Like, I'm a lover of that stuff. But
I like Bruce. I met Bruce. He's a fine guy. He's fine. Yeah. He's a little racist, but he's fine. But like, a lot of people don't
Makes
like
sense.
Him. Trust me. A lot of my friends are like, I hate Bruce's work. But he was different. Like, you got to give him credit. He's a magnum for a reason. Like, he's not bad. Just people just don't like him and his approach, because it is very different. And people didn't like me and my approach in that video. I got a lot of hate for it.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I got saying, I hate you just as much as the slaves. And I was like, what? They said that to me.
Wow.
What does that mean?
People say the weirdest shit.
I don't know.
But
they commented on one of my videos. They were like, I came here just to say that I hate you. And I'm like, wow. So,
okay.
Yeah, I got a lot of hate. I got a lot of hate, but it's okay. I don't care.
That's so weird because like I really felt good about your approach because you, like you said, you're like, I'm not trying to
agreed
sneak up on these people. I'm not like, if they want explanation, I'll tell them what's going on. It's a much kinder way about going about it than just being like, click, whoop, and this like, then somebody could see their photo in a magazine someday or in on gallery and be like, when the heck did that happen?
Yeah, well, some people just will never, it's not even understanding. They're just never going to like the practice of getting very close to someone and taking a photo without asking.
Right.
My ex-girlfriend never liked what I did. She thought I was a good photographer, but she didn't like what I did. She thought it was exploitative and, you know, you're not asking any permission. So some people are just never going to like it and that's never going to change. And we can't change their mind. So when people get angry at me and I'm trying to explain it, I can't change their mind. That's the same thing. And I'm still going to do it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to let that discourage me, but a lot of people get discouraged by that.
Man, so you've done some paid work and stuff like that, right? Haven't you? Like some magazine or website stuff, I feel like.
I've done a few New York Times assignments.
That's what it was.
That's mostly it. Mostly New York Times. Not a lot. Only like four.
Yeah. Well, how do you feel about doing stuff like that coming from your perspective?
How do I feel about it? I mean, I like it. I mean, I was hired to do exactly what I do and I didn't really have a lot of parameters around it. I mean, I got the dream assignment technically, which was shoot street. That's all it was. There was no other thing. It was just shoot street.
Right.
Now, I didn't love the photo. Like one of the photos I really did like, actually one of my favorite photos. But besides that, like I didn't really kill it like I wanted to do because you only have a week to do it.
Okay.
You have 1 week to take, you know, 10 good photos. It's not that easy. But they pretty much gave me full control of what I wanted to do. It was pretty much, we want you to shoot film. We want you to shoot film. We'll pay for the film. We'll let you have full artistic control. You just have to get what we want, basically. And I did, the first one was like, it was Halloween mask. So I had my friend in a Michael Myers mask. And then I just, so those are staged, but they look like street photos. So I had my style, but it was staged and they loved it.
That's fun.
Yeah. It was great. So yeah, like how do I feel about it? I like it. It's good. As long as like I'm allowed to do my thing, it's great. I've never compromised what I was doing when I did one of those. The only time I did compromise is when I shot for GQ last year and they never ran it. So no one knows about it. Yeah.
Bummer.
For Fashion Week, which is this week. But I enjoy it. I enjoy it. New York Times hit me up again.
Yeah. Come on, guys. Yeah. Get this guy some more work.
Put it out in the universe.
And I wanted to also ask you, because from the videos and the stuff that I've seen of you, you're not like a gearhead snob guy, bro, dude. You know what I mean? Like, it seems like a camera's just like a tool for you type of thing. Or are you? Are you like a secret camera guy?
I was like, imagine if he was like, here's all the cameras behind him.
It's kind of funny you ask that. I do have a shit ton of cameras.
I think we all do.
Yeah.
People
guilty.
Are expensive. I bought them all before they. So I have a Contax T3. I never use it. So I have all that shit that everyone would want. But no, I don't care. That's why I don't even use a Contax T3. I bet you a bunch of people would want to use it right now. I don't care about the Leica. I've been running around with the Chinon, the camera from the video. I've been running around with that shit for a whole month. I haven't even used a Leica. I don't care about the camera.
Wow.
Just as long as I'm taking the photo, that's all that matters. Yeah, I'm not really a snob in terms of that. Like in the walkie-talkie video, I barely mentioned anything. I mentioned it like two times because he asked me a question, so I answered the question. But the camera doesn't matter. Just take photos. That's just how I feel. I could be using not even any of the cameras I have here. I could be using a Canon SureShot. It doesn't matter. Obviously, I use a Leica because I like it. And my father gave me one, so I'm lucky. But like, it doesn't. None of that matters. That's how I feel. I probably would have bought one eventually because I'd be like, oh, let's try this out because everyone uses it. But at the end of the day, just use what you have. That's how I feel.
clip that and post it, because that is very important right there. I feel like, I mean, I was guilty of being such a gearhead for the longest time, looking back on my camera roll.
It's hard not to.
And seeing, I just think they're pretty.
Matt Day videos.
Yeah. Right. That's how it happens. And I just got into it. You know what I mean? Like when you first get into it and you get, I mean, just like you got a bunch of cameras. You just kind of get into the... And there was a bit of like soul searching too, like, you know, like if I get the Leica, is it going to finally change everything for me type situation? And no, you shoot the same kind of photos no matter what camera you have. I feel like I've been shooting the same stuff since I started doing it. So, I mean, yeah, I'm just always curious.
I didn't include this, but I started with the SRT 101 and then I used a Stylus Epic for like a month or two. And then I got the M6 from my dad. And then I started using that, and then I was still using the Stylus, like, when I went to work, because I used to work at Columbia University. And then I went to a Yashica T4 when I went to work.
Yeah.
I used that for a while. But whenever I would go out to whenever I go out to shoot a whole day, it was always the M6. But when I went to work, I would have either the Epic or the Yashica T4. And then eventually I was like, fuck these point and shoots. I'm just going to take the M6 on the train. So then I used the M6 on the train, and then we're here right now, and I'm like, fuck the M6. I'm going to use this fucking point.
So it doesn't
matter. None of it matters.
It doesn't.
Lumography was nice enough to send me a mini Diana recently. And
oh, okay.
It's like, you know, they're like the little light plastic cameras with the plastic lens. And there's no controls. You just like set sunny or shady, like, you know, and I'm like out taking these photos. I'm like, these are cool. Like these came out really cool. And I'm like, what? So it's like, it really does. Like you can do really cool work with whatever you have,
whatever you got. Yeah.
I mean, when I first started shooting, I don't know why I did this, but, I bought two disposables and I got as close as I do now with disposables, and they weren't bad. They weren't bad.
Yeah.
They were pretty good, to be honest. Like four disposables, like you're not really going to tell the difference. Sometimes, actually, the camera I'm using now, the point and shoot, it looks just as good as a Leica, in my opinion. The lens does.
Which like, point and shoot?
I could point post only that camera's photos and say this is with the Leica M6, and everyone would believe me.
Yep.
It doesn't matter.
Which point and shoot?
A Chinon 3001.
Good luck. Oh, okay.
Good luck finding one on eBay because they're all gone.
Dang.
Because that video made them all sold out.
I think I had one up at my antique booth. I had that I put up there. Bummer.
The crazy thing is they were $30 when I bought them. Mm-hmm. I bought six of them. Now they're selling for $500.
No, they are not.
Yes, I'm not joking. You can go to eBay, look at sold listings.
I believe you. I believe
that's
you.
How
that's
works.
How it goes,
that's how
man.
It works when
that's
you
how it
yeah, literally, we've seen it over and over again with these point shoots. If somebody gets onto one, forget it. Everybody wants it.
That's why I was a little bit of an asshole in the video. I was like, I'm going to tell you what the camera is. Like, and then people are like, it's got Chinon. And then they're gone.
They got you.
It's okay. There's other Chinons that are secret. There's other ones that no one knows about.
Now they're going to buy them all up.
I'm trying to remember what the point shoot was. Somebody else was like, it's a secret, and then all of a sudden it was like, these aren't cheap
gone.
Anymore either.
Yeah
man, that's just how it happens.
I love a point and shoot.
No, they're great, but the reason that I've been using the point and shoot recently is because I enjoy not thinking about any setting. I like that I can just take a photo immediately and I don't have to think about it. I decide the only thing I have to think about is, do I want flash, do I not want flash? That's it.
Yeah.
And composition.
I don't have to think about really. Oh, I gotta go to 2.8 at like 30th shutter. I don't have to think about that. I just take it. So that's why I've been using that a lot.
One last gear question from me.
Sure.
What are your thoughts on everybody in New York City having the M6 Leica? Like, it just seems like a New York City trophy.
Yeah, I've been on eBay again and Craigslist.
What, you want one?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're expensive. I'm very lucky. I have four Leicas, but
jeez,
you have four Leicas.
I have four. You know. I bought them when so I didn't tell you. My grandfather gave me a Leica too.
Oh man,
he gave me a Leica M4 black paint, It's worth like $15,000. It's crazy.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Good I have Lord. An M4 in the black. Yeah.
I've shot one roll through it. It's like, it's just an heirloom, but.
Right.
Yeah. I bought a pretty rare camera during the pandemic. I bought a Leica M2R for $1,800 on eBay. Now it's worth like $5,000 to $6,000.
Wow.
Yeah. They went crazy.
Sorry.
Just the Leica stuff went crazy. Even mine like doubled in price since the 2 years I've owned it.
Yeah. I got really lucky. I actually bought a Leica this year, the first camera I bought in like almost 2 years. I bought an M4P for $1,600, which is a great price for that.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It was on Instagram from like a guy that I had followed for like 5 years. And he was like, I'm selling it for $1,600. I was like, I will buy that right now.
Sold. Yeah.
So I bought that as like a secondary to the M6. But because I broke my M6 before and then I was like, fuck. I mean, I had plenty of cameras, so it doesn't matter. But like, I do enjoy using the camera. I'm not going to say I don't like Leica. All I said earlier was that it doesn't matter. But I do like using
it. Exactly.
I bought that as a backup. How do I feel about the M6 as the New York City trophy? I say, yeah, get an M6. Why not? If you have the money for an M6, get an M6. But again, I'll reiterate, it doesn't matter. You don't have to get an M6. You can get a Bessa. You can get a Bessa.
I had a Bessa. It was awesome. Loved it.
The only thing I will say, though, is if you want to buy a Leica because it's going to be a good investment. Because I really don't. Until film dies, hopefully not, knock on wood. Until film dies, that camera's going to keep going up. So if you buy. I told people 2 years ago.
Buy it now.
I told people 2 years ago when it was like, $1,800, buy a Leica because it's going to keep going up in value. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not going to regret buying it. You can use it for 6 months and make a profit on it. Like, just buy it.
True.
But people don't want to spend that kind of money. It's expensive. I get it.
It's a great investment, though. That's like one of the only things you can really purchase, and it's not going to devalue unless it's broken or something. But
I've never seen anyone buy a Leica and it go down in value.
Exactly.
Right.
What about film? You were just saying, because I know Paulie asks this a lot in his videos. What about film? What if film goes away? What are you doing? Are you fine?
We've been asking our guests this question a lot recently, and I kind of love it.
Do you mean if film goes away completely or color?
If it's kaput.
No more film.
I already have a plan. I don't know if I'm going to reveal the plan because they're rare. I'll reveal it. I don't care. I doubt many people can buy it. A Leica M10D, they're like $7,000.
Yep, with the LCD.
It's the film one. It's the one that's like film. Screen. Yep. It has no screen. It has a fake film advance. I don't care about that. But like, I don't want to be able to look at them. I just want to be able to shoot.
Yep.
I've used an M10D, actually. One of them's in the zine, by the way. No one knows this, but one of the photos in the zine is digital.
Yeah, sneaky. Scandal.
A little bit. My friend has an M10D, and I was shooting so much film a couple months ago that I was running out. And he was like, do you just want to use the M10D today? And I was like, sure. So I took like 300 photos on that. And then I got a couple good ones. It's a great camera and the experience is great. So that's probably what I'm going to do. I don't have $7,000 to buy one right now.
I know. Eventually.
They only made 1,000 of them. That's why I didn't really want to.
Oh, really? I thought there were way more than that.
Oh, my God.
Okay. No, they're rare.
Because when you said that, I was like, okay, I have a backup plan somehow. Like,
well, if you went on eBay, there's probably only like three. Like, they're not common at all. Yeah. But yeah, if you guys want to, whoever's listening, if you want to go buy all the fucking M10Ds, be my guest, whatever. Just save one for me.
Yes. And us, we would like one too.
Yeah. It's like the film community influenced Leica to reissue the M6. Like when film
dies, crazy,
all of us will be like, hey, can you make more of those cameras that are like film?
I've heard rumors. I don't know who told me this because I have no connection to Leica, but someone said they might make an M11D. Who knows? I have no idea.
Oh my God.
We'll have to wait a year for that or however long Leica takes. But allegedly, they might make another one. There also was one before that. There was one like in 2015, like during the M6 II era. So there's a couple, but I just don't want the screen. I don't want to.
Yeah.
Right.
Because if I have the screen, I'm so like invested. I'll look at it. I don't want to look at it.
Right.
I have 350 rolls in a fridge right here that I haven't even seen. That's what I do.
That's a little more than I have. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, look at this. This is Timothy over here. He does the same thing. Not me. I finish roll. I drive to the lab. Nope. Like,
I finish the roll, it's not even a confident thing. I'm just not worried about it. I'm like, I did it. It's done. I'll see it when I see it. Of course, I want to see new work like all the time, but like I'm not worried about it. Once I took the photo, it's over. I'll see it later.
Did you see the Vivian Mayer documentary?
Yeah, of course.
Where they found like all these rolls of film that like weren't developed. I wonder if she was like same mindset. She's like, nope, I'm good. I got it. Like, I'll get to it.
I mean, at the end of Gary Winogrand's life, he had like 2,000 rolls that he hadn't even developed, and they had to develop it and say, oh, these are shit because you're in LA and you can't do anything. Sorry. So that's not a dig at Winston, but yeah, my point
that's
is like
that's what they say though. Yep.
They do say that. They do say that.
Yeah.
That's why I said it.
Yep.
Maybe that's why he never developed them. He knew.
Yeah, he knew. He knew. He's like, oh, these aren't
good. These are trash. Yeah. And people are like, oh, there's film that he left here. Like, no, those are trash.
Maybe. We don't know. He's also, this is interesting. You might like this. He's the only street photographer I know of besides Tony Ray Jones, but he died like in a weird way, who died young. Like every street photographer lives to be in their 90s or their late 80s.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many I could name right now that are still alive. It's kind of crazy. So if you want to live, be in your 90s, just be a street photographer.
Yeah. As I say, it's all the exercise. They walked every day.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a pretty unhealthy guy, to be honest, but like I'll probably make it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're
good cardio,
you're gonna make it.
You know?
You're going to make it.
Your heart's in good shape.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll be right back with a couple listener questions for Trevor right after this message from our sponsor.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Just wanted to pop in here quick and let you guys know about our Patreon-only Develop and Hang Nights. Now, we've done a bunch of these already. They're a ton of fun. We talk shop. We develop some film. We laugh. We also try to get a former guest for these. So if that sounds like something you're interested in, head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. Patreon is the best way to support the show. Thanks.
All right, guys, this is the part of the show where we break off and take a question from one of our listeners. This week, we're going to take a couple questions. And the first one's coming from Painter in a Hurry. And they wanted to know, how are you always out shooting and affording these new film prices?
I guess this is a little bit of a deeper answer than you expected. But
bring it.
Yeah.
I was in a fortunate situation where I didn't have to pay rent for a little while. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah. So I took advantage of that and I had a little bit of savings and I used all the savings to shoot film. And then I ran out of money and then my friends kept giving me roles. They're like, Trevor, you should have a role. So they just hand me roles for like a month and a half. Like I was running out of film all the time and didn't have a lot of money. So they were like, here, Trevor, have a role. Like you just, they didn't say you deserve it, but they were like, you should have it. So they would give me a role. Mm-hmm. So how am I affording it? I wasn't. But now I'm in a better situation, so I can afford roles. And yeah, it's still expensive in New York just to live here in general.
Yeah.
That's why
a
lot of people will say to me, like, I wish I lived in New York, but it's so expensive. And I'm like,
right.
Yeah, but like they, depending on the job you can find, like that's just how it is. Like you can get paid a lot more here than you will be paid in the fucking South.
Yeah.
So it's just like a give and take kind of situation. Yeah, I afford film prices because I pretty much spend most of my money on film because I want to shoot film because I always have. And I think that's, I want to stay consistent to my style and my look. And until it's gone, I'll keep shooting it.
Mm. Yeah. We've kind of talked about that with other folks too. And I think Timothy and I feel the same. Like it's like when gas goes up, right? Like I need to drive my car. I need to fulfill this deep, creative thing that I have with film. So I'll pay for it. Make it work somehow or another. You know what I mean? And I love that you were, in a fortunate situation like that.
Yeah, that's great.
And anytime anybody's in a situation where they can a fortunate situation where they can focus on their art is just like such a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. We have another question. Another question for Trevor. This one's kind of a funny question, and it made me laugh because I'm from Connecticut, and I haven't heard the word grinder to describe a sub sandwich in forever because nobody says that out here in LA. But they ask, it says, the question's from Go For Gala, and they ask, which grinder shop did they opt for while in Windsor, Connecticut?
So the answer is...
They will be judged, smiley face.
So the answer is Family Pizzeria, 181 Broad Street, Windsor, Connecticut, 06095. And their phone number is 860-688-5069. And the store hours are Tuesday to Thursday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Friday and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. and Sunday, noon to 9 p.m. And delivery is available, and they do accept Visa, MasterCard, American Express, the whole lot. Discover. And the website is www.familypizzawindsorconnecticut.com.
Shout out. You got to get a Nardelli's if you're going to be in Connecticut for a grinder. That's my shout out.
Late hours, Nardelli's.
Nardelli's is in Waterbury.
Yeah, I'm not very familiar with Connecticut, but my father's from Hartford.
Oh, okay. Nardelli's. I'm like, ugh, I'd kill for a Nardelli's grinder right about now. It's so good.
Well, the grinder we got was chicken cutlet, and I believe I got blue cheese on it. Blue cheese. I don't remember. It was crazy. The combination was crazy. I didn't even order it because my friend took me there, and he's from Connecticut. He's from Stamford. Okay. So.
That's great.
Great question.
Yeah.
Especially from my home state. I love it.
Back to the camera questions. This is our two-part camera question that we always end the show with. The first part is the desert island camera. You can only choose one for the rest of your life. What's it going to be and why?
That's tough. As you would think, I would say the M6, but now I like the Chinon because I don't have to think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Leaving the heirloom behind, too. Shit.
No. It's tough.
I know. I mean,
come
on.
That gives me control. Okay, so wait, am I allowed to have a flash or no? Is an external flash?
You can have
wild?
Whatever you want. It's a magic island. Mm-hmm. It has batteries. It has film developing.
Okay, so if I'm allowed to have a flash, then I would take the M6 because
what flash do you use? What's your external that you use?
That Contax, right?
Contax TLA 140, but I broke it, so I haven't used it in like 2 months. I haven't used it in 2 months.
Oh no!
Well, guess who gave me the Contax TLA 140? Guess who gave it to me as a gift? For cat sitting.
Daniel. I was going to say Daniel Arnold.
Aww.
That's great.
But unfortunately, the crazy thing, you're going to like this, the guy in the video that got aggressive with me broke that flash.
No way.
Okay, shit.
Because he reached for the flash And then I removed
that's
the
flask right.
and I put it in my pocket. And then I used it for 2 weeks. And there was a crack that he created that made yeah. like plastic at the bottom of the hot shoe break off. So he broke the flask.
Damn.
Yeah, he broke the gift that Daniel gave me. It sucks, but yeah. So yeah, I would pick that M6 with the contacts, TLA-140. Shout out contacts. Give them business. Oh, they don't exist anymore.
We wish.
Yeah.
Come back from the dead. That would be one we want. Come back from the dead.
All right. Part two. We might already know the answer to this because we were talking, but what is your white whale camera? So it's just like one that you've had it on the mind for the longest time. You want to own it.
Dreaming about it.
Yeah. Scouring the bay.
I don't dream a lot about. Oh, okay. Okay. Actually, I do have an answer.
You're never gonna
guess it because it's medium format.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. I wanted to guess that for you.
Yeah, because I've only shot two medium format cameras ever. It was a Pentax 6.7 and a Mamiya 7. Mm-hmm. But it's not either of those. It's actually Vivian Meyer's camera in Gordon Clark's
camera. The Rolly.
The Rolleiflex 2.8. The wide. The Rolleiflex wide.
Wow. I would love to see your stuff on a Rolleiflex.
Yeah.
I don't know how it would go. I have no idea because it's a completely different way of shooting, but I would like to try it out. Also, it has 1/500th of a second flash sync instead of the Leica's 1/50th. So
that I know.
Yeah.
It's that leaf shutter, man. Love that leaf shutter. It'll sync up.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Excellent answer. Now I want one.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
Leaf shutters or cloth shutters only. Nothing else. No mirrors. I don't want mirrors. Don't want it. Even though the Nikon F3 MA is a great camera.
That's still one that I haven't owned. I haven't owned an F3 yet.
Yeah, those are great. But I like the rangefinders. I just like... The reason I also like shooting with the Leica is just because it feels good in the hand. It just feels like a tool. Yep. I've used the SLR before. It just... Not that they're bad or anything. It just doesn't feel as good.
It is different.
I mean, if I'm going to carry one camera around, it would be a Leica. I've been carrying around the Chinon because it's honestly like a cheat code. It's easy. It's very easy.
It's easy.
Right.
So I don't have, like I said, I don't have to think. But pure feel, a Leica for sure. Also, fuck the Contax G2. That's all I want to say.
Hot take.
It's not that hot.
I've never tried either of them, but I always hear about the autofocus being pretty poo-poo. Oh,
awful. I mean, people revere that camera like it's great. I used one summer, and there was so many good photos that were just completely back-focused, and I was like, not using it again. And I used it like a couple times after that, but pretty much never.
I haven't used my G1.
Well, that's even worse than a G2.
It is, I know. Because when it hits, though, it's like, poof.
But when it hits.
Yeah, I know. That's it.
The crazy thing to me is my most well-known photo is with the G2.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, it's the one, I don't know if you're going to know it, but it's the one of the woman with her mammaries out on Fifth Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah,
it's like
your
first photo on Instagram. Yeah.
Well, it's pinned, But that was taken with the G2. So it's funny how that worked out because I'd hate that
camera.
Yeah,
lucky you would have been so upset if that did not come out. Can you imagine if it was out of focus?
Oh, I would be pissed. But honestly, I took that photo and I didn't even think anything about it. Actually, I first shared that photo a year after. I didn't even realize it was good at the time. Like I saw the roll and I was like, oh, that's just a girl. Like it's nothing. And then during COVID, I went through my whole archive and then I shared it and the people just lost their minds. And I was like,
that's so funny.
It's a killer photo, man.
It's not even my favorite photo at all. It's not like, it's in the top 10 probably, but it's like, it's not my favorite at all, but people love that photo. It's just because it's like, it's just so crazy.
Yeah.
And it's so New York. It's like so New York.
Yeah, true.
Exactly. Man.
Well, dude, killer answers.
Yeah, good answers.
Any more?
I mean, this was great.
Thanks for
joining us, Trevor. This has been such a fun time. Where can everybody check out your work? Instagram? Do you have a website?
I don't have a website because I'm a ghost. Instagram, Threads, fuck Threads. YouTube. That's pretty much it. I mean, I have a Patreon because I'm a starving artist, as they like to say. But
Yep.
Instagram and YouTube. Oh, I started Discord, and Discord's going weird. Discord's been weird.
Discord is weird, but I kind of like it. I like Discord.
Well, I made a channel and then just a ton of people joined, and it's still going on the whole time we've been doing this. It's just like people are just talking. Like, because I guess the people that follow me really like the people that follow. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is. It reminds me of like the old like Facebook group type thing where people would just kind of talk to each other and like share secrets or share helping.
Yeah, I don't even have to be there. They're just going off.
That's the fun thing about it. Yeah, that's the fun thing about it.
So yeah, Instagram and YouTube, that's pretty much it.
Cool. Timothy, where are you?
Instagram, Threads, YouTube as well, at Timothy Makeups. Bunch of, I think my YouTube is at Timothy Makeups if you put it in there. But if not, go to the search bar, easiest way, type in Timothy Makeups. You'll find a bunch of my old videos there. TimothyMakeups.com. Chris, where are you?
So I am Chris B. Photo on all the things. Analog Talk Pod on Twitter. I don't know if you even say
no,
that.
No, we're not doing
Twitter
anymore.
We're not on Threads yet, but no. We're Analog Talk Podcast on Instagram. And that's it. Awesome, great. Trevor. Thank you so much. This has been fantastic.
Of course.
All right, guys. We'll see you in the next one.
Bye. First off, Kristen, I would love to thank Trevor for coming on the show. We love what you're doing. You're a legend. We love your photography. We love your free spirit. We love it all. Thanks for taking the time to hang out with us. We had such a blast. It was great getting to hear your story. Just great getting to hang out and chat. Again, thanks so much for coming on the show. Guys, that's going to take us to Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. For only $1, you can get the show 2 days early. We also have our Patreon-only develop and hangs over there, a bunch of stuff in the archives, and like we always say, Patreon is the best way to help support the show. Again, patreon.com/analogtalk. All right, that's going to be it for this week's episode, guys. Trevor, thanks so much again for coming to hang out with us. We love what you're doing. Thanks for listening. And for all the Patreons who already helped support the show, guys, we do not know what we'd do without you. Thank you so much. And until next week, we'll see you with an all new episode. Later.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.